Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you to the latest episode of New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, there's so much to get into this week, and let's dive right into it and take it from Russia Today at RT.com. Virginia votes to refuse NDAA. Although Congress approved this year's National Defense Authorization Act, lawmakers on another level continue to find faults with its nasty detainment provisions. Virginia is now the latest state to consider laws that nix some of the NDAA. When U.S. President Obama signed his name to the NDAA for fiscal year 2012, he authorized the U.S. military to detain and torture anyone on Earth, Americans included, without charge. Opposition was widespread even before the commander-in-chief put pen to paper, or perhaps auto-penned it. But critics are continuing to condemn the legislation only 2 months after Obama approved it. So weary of the NDAA are lawmakers in Virginia, in fact, that a recent vote within the state's House of Delegates led to the passing of a counteract that will keep those detainment provisions out of Virginia. A recent meeting of lawmakers in the lower house of the Virginia General Assembly yielded an impressive 96-4 approval for House Bill 1160, a bill that will ban state officials from abiding by some elements of the NDAA. Should the act see similar support in the state Senate, Virginia will be spared from the detainment provisions that have garnered opposition against Congress and the Obama White House over the NDAA's passage. James, before I throw it back to you, my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org from right here in Portland, Oregon, he put out a press release weeks ago, and I'll provide this in the show notes. Top-rated Oregon talk show host calls for states to nullify NDAA using sort of nullification as the key word, and now we see it.
Absolutely, and just let me use my powers of psychic prediction. Let me think, how is the media going to portray this if and when they actually do? Oh, they're probably going to invent some term for it, like the tenthers or the nullifiers. Uh-oh, better watch out for these pesky people who are trying to derail the political process. This is a hopeful sign in so many ways, because the fundamental point of this story is that power is in the hands of the people, and all they have to do is understand that and grasp it and use it instead of just sitting there rolling over and playing dead anytime the tyrants in Washington put whatever edicts out they want. We don't have to sit there and take it. So the people can and always do have the ultimate power, and they're the final arbiters of what happens or doesn't happen. And this is one way that that can happen, for states to nullify what's happening at the federal level. And people who watched my recent report on the TSA, my eye-opener report, will know that the TSA came out when the Texas House of Representatives was talking about outlawing the TSA pat-downs. And the TSA came out and said, well, the supremacy clause of the Constitution means that the states can't nullify what the federal agencies are doing. Which, of course, was a total load of bunkum, and there were so many constitutional scholars and rights centers and others that came out in the wake of that blog post on the TSA saying that's total BS. No, absolutely the states can say no to the federal government and things like this. So I don't see this as the end point or the final solution. I mean, oh great, you know, finally the states can control everything. But at any rate, it points towards the truth of the matter, which is we don't have to be focused on Washington and the political puppets in power at any given moment. We don't have to put all of our attention and all of our hopes and dreams in the 2012 election race. So Team Blue versus Team Red, who's going to win? It's not about that. It's about what the people will do or will not do. And that's ultimately where the power lies. So I think the ultimate aim is to get this down even further than the state level, down to the local level. And in the wake of the Patriot Act, there were hundreds of city councils that passed legislation that said that city wouldn't abide by the rules of the Patriot Act. So that's, again, another way to do this. If your state's not going to go for it, go at the local level and take the power back. But James, let me put this to you. What does it say about the media that we had to go to Russian television to get this news about what's happening in Virginia?
And that's the thing, you know, in doing the website work, of course, I always try and drill back to the original source, which, of course, I always, you know, love to give links to Blacklisted News or the Intel Hub or any of the alternative media sites out there. But you want to link to the main source to give people the root of it, where it came from. And yeah, I saw it, and I guess I wasn't, it probably didn't even faze me. It's like, oh, of course, I had to go to RT or something else. James, I'd love to see some nullification happen here in my current state of Oregon, but even more so, I'd love to see it in my home state of West Virginia. As we're discussing, you know, the people have the power and the puppets on the stage. You almost reminded me of course, the Ned Beatty speech in Network. You know, it's all about petrodollars. Posted to MediaMonarchy.com, Iran oil bores to trade in non-U.S. dollar currencies beginning March 20th. And we'll grab a piece actually from an amazing article from Pepe Escobar called U.S. Wants Swift War on Iran. If the Washington Tel Aviv promoted hysteria is already at a fever pitch, wait for March 20th when the Iranian oil bourse will start trading oil in other currencies apart from the U.S. dollar, heralding the arrival of a new oil marker to be denominated in euro, yen, yuan, rupee, or a basket of currencies. That would suit Asian clients from BRICS members India and China to U.S. allies Japan and South Korea, not to mention NATO member Turkey. But that would also suit European clients to pay for oil in their own currency. Tehran, as well as many key players in the developing world, does not want to sink the petrodollar. That may be the straw to break the American camel's back. James, on my posting on MediaMonarchy.com, I do have a lot of other kind of headline links, and let me just blast through those to kind of hopefully give a bigger picture. U.S., Persia, and Israel being sacrificed for one world order. Iran stops oil sales to British French companies. That's from Reuters. Gas prices are highest ever for this time of year. That's from the Associated Press. And huge plunge in petroleum and gas line usage, yet prices are up. Stock market up. More on the Greek default. And I had posted the day before that stocks rose Tuesday here in the States. We had our brief kind of junkie fix as the Greek, you know, crisis was temporarily, I believe, avoided. So, James, this larger kind of geopolitical situation on any number of levels, we see things leading towards something. And I'll touch on it even more in the third story. But what's your breakdown on this?
Well, James, how much do you want to bet that the first thing that the puppet-installed regime after the NATO-led bombing to smithereens of Tehran, the first thing they're going to do is start a new central bank and decide to value everything in the petrodollar and go back to business as usual for Washington and the political elite? Absolutely. Just ridiculous. And this is something that's been predicted for quite a while. I mean, you can go back, Global Research had an article, I think, in 2005 talking about the Iranian oil bursts, which was being created at the time, and how that was going to be part of the whole lead-up to an excuse for invasion of Iran, because obviously the petrodollar is the only thing that's funding the American war machine right now, and it is really tattering and fraying at the edges and pretty much on the edge of collapse. And so, so absolutely, it's a very interesting situation, because the only thing you can think of is that the recent oil sanctions and everything that has been happening on Iran, the only possible predictable outcome of this is for Iran to start denominating their exports in something other than dollars, because they can't use the petrodollar system anymore. So they're going to be trading in rupees, they're going to be trading in yuan, in yen, in whatever currency they can use with their direct trading partners. So, I mean, it's absolutely perfectly predictable result of the situation that Iran, the box that Iran has been placed into. Well, they're just going to start creating their own system, which of course can't be allowed to happen. So some event has to be provocateured or staged or something has to come along. And there's been a lot of talk about the USS Enterprise out in the Gulf and things like that. So we'll see. We'll see what the next page on this script is. But I think we all know where this is heading. And just unfortunately for the people of Iran, who again have nothing to do with the government itself, it's probably not going to be pretty for them or for the people around the world who are going to be either wittingly or unwittingly contributing to this war machine takeover of that section of the world.
And let's not forget that it was a Bush crime family protege named Richard Milhouse Nixon who switched us to the petrodollar system in 1973.
Well, actually, Kissinger, who was puppeteering Nixon.
Ah, that's...
and who was working for Rockefeller. But anyway.
It's all a pretty cozy coterie. James, our third and final story, we're going to go to one of the newer sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom that I call holyhexes.com. And again, we return to the wrath of Khan. Dominique Strauss-Kahn arrested by French police for complicity in pimping after he admits attending sex parties all over the world. Dominique Strauss-Kahn was last night being held in police custody as officers questioned him over an international prostitution ring. The disgraced former head of the International Monetary Fund, who lost his job amid claims he tried to rape a New York chambermaid, could face jail over the sex parties he has admitted attending around the world. Strauss-Kahn, 62, whose wife Anne Sinclair is standing by him, has made the extraordinary claim that he was unaware the women at the orgies were prostitutes because, quote, they were naked at the time. James, we discussed this story in the initial, you know, rape allegations, and it basically it looked to be a frame-up, but now it comes back, and it comes back even bigger. These are the kind of stories, I think, that cast the wide net, that look around. And, James, we've discussed briefly on this show, but in greater detail on our own respective shows, this connects in some way, shape, or form to these worldwide kind of child abuse rings and prostitution and human trafficking and all of these things. So whether it's Penn State or Boys Town or any of those kind of situations, when it gets to this level, you have to kind of wonder what's going on. James, also for me, I just wanted to kind of briefly run down a whole other list of things that I find interesting that still kind of relate to our previous stories as we look at this sort of timetable of, when are we going to go to Iran? That everyone kind of seems resigned to. It's like, oh, well, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Madonna fans were petitioning the Prime Minister of Israel to hold off on the attack until after she kicks off her new tour in Israel. So, of course, Madonna, the Kabbalah-connected sorceress. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had the amazing 13-minute sermon at the Super Bowl here in the States. And then it led into the death of Whitney Houston, the Grammy Awards, and now coming up this Sunday in the States, we have what I kind of consider to be the third and final part of the Triple Crown of kind of the pop culture sweepstakes. We did the Super Bowl, we had the Grammys, and now we're going to have the Oscars, which of course will no doubt probably include some sort of weird tributes to Whitney Houston and other people. But just for some of the oddball things that really kind of make me wonder and the things I'll kind of pose to people, Whitney Houston's daughter Bobby nearly drowned in the tub in the same hotel the night before, mirroring the exact same thing that would happen the next night when Whitney Houston would die. Clive had the party, the head of Arista Records, Whitney Houston's record label, had the big pre-Grammy party in the hotel while her body was still upstairs. And then you have people like Nicki Minaj, who performed with Madonna at the Super Bowl. She put on her new persona, because all these people have these weird multiple personalities that seem to connect to some type of trauma-based mind control. Nicki Minaj has an alter ego called Roman Zelansky, and the new song that she has is called Roman Holiday, and talking about altering your brain. And a Roman holiday, of course, is the big orgy you would have before you would head out to war. So I see all of these bizarre kind of pop culture memes and stories building in a way, in a kind of Titanic way, as the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the Titanic approaches. We see this in Roman Polanski's films. We see the desecration of innocence over water. And that's what even happened in his real life when he raped the girl in the hot tub. So take that out to the Costa Concordia and the analogies between that ship and the European Union and the oncoming war that we see kind of imminent. And you can relate it to the Lusitania, the USS Maine, the Gulf of Tonkin, the USS Liberty. And I'm just looking at all these things kind of coming down and holding my breath. That's a lot, James, and I hope folks will check out holyhexes.com for more on these kind of connected stories. Do you have any brief word on all of that I just laid out for you?
It's a lot to take in. I just hope people look at places like Vigilant Citizen or Freeman TV and other places for some breakdown of previous ceremonies that have taken place at the VMAs and the Grammys and things like that. With DSK, yes, he was just set up, but obviously these Eyes Wide Shut parties happened. The takeaway from that story ultimately is that all of the political puppets at that stage are involved in this, so all they have to do is flip a switch and they can scuttle anyone's career. On that note, I think we're running out of time. So James, once again, thank you for digging up these stories, and I'm looking forward to next week.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.